The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning. Today is June the 8th. And June is going to fly by, and it's going to be July before we know it. And I think we're starting to get some great weather. So get outside and enjoy it. And just one little thing I want to say before we start with our Saratoga All-Star here is, has anyone seen Jackie Prodrick? And if you have, where is she? And that's like Carmen Sanchez back in the... About 15 years ago, they had a show on Where is Carmen? And they spotted her all over the world. But anyway, that's just a little shout out to Jackie, who had her first child a month ago. And we want to say hello. Anyway, I'd like to welcome our guest, Patty Morrison. Good morning, Patty.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Patty's was on last month, and we decided to have her on again because she's really full of some great information, and she's running in a primary that's June the 25th.
Correct.
And she's running against an incumbent finance commissioner. Patty, we'd like to start the show out, as we did before, with you telling the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Great. Well, thanks for having me. And again, it's a pleasure to be here. Just a little bit about myself. I grew up in the Capital District. I actually am a graduate of Shaker High School and have lifelong friends from high school. I have lived here my whole life. My current home was purchased in 2013 here in Saratoga Springs on the west side, and which I like to say is the best side, but I love all of Saratoga, actually.
It is, because I live there, too.
Yeah. I'm an avid outdoors person, and actually, if I wasn't in Saratoga today, I'd be up in the Adirondacks with some friends who are doing a three-day hike in six mountains, but unfortunately, I can't be there with them. But I basically grew up in the Adirondacks as my backyard playground, with my parents taking me on my first camping trip when I was, I think it was only 3 months old at that point.
Oh my.
And I've been a lifelong volunteer since I was a teenager. I've been volunteering. My first teenage activities for volunteerism started when I was 14. I've been involved in sports. I love Saratoga. I have gotten very, very engaged in the community. I currently serve on the Saratoga Springs School Board. I serve on the City Democratic Committee. I'm a Soroptimist, and for those that don't know what Soroptimist is about, it's an international organization, and we raise money to give it back to women and girls for educational purposes. And today, if you go to the parade, you will see a group of Soroptimists wearing white slacks and light blue tops. Wave to them. They're an amazing group of women. And one of our keystone fundraisers is the Secret Garden Tour, which I'm sure folks have heard about. And we will raise, I think it's between $25,000 or $30,000 at that event alone, which we in turn give back. So we raise this money to turn around and give it back, which is just amazing. And there's so many great causes. In fact, my high school teacher for field hockey, my coach, I should say, Karen Flewelling does, Drilling for Hope. And she has been one of the recipients of dollars from Saratoga Soroptimus. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm very proud of all the work that she does. I also volunteer. I'm a member of League of Women Voters, and I do volunteer work with Sustainable Saratoga. So I'm very, very engaged in the community and happy to serve and be a member. So thanks.
And I'm really, out of all that, I'm really happy you're on the school board.
Yeah.
Because I've heard nothing but good things about you on the school board. And today it takes a lot of dedication and hard work to be on a school board. There's so many challenges. So I just want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
You got to tell me why you're running for a position as Commissioner of Finance.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for some time, I've been consistently disappointed with our city council's lack of leadership and commitment to the community. And I'm running because my opponent is not listening or serving her constituents. I'm passionate about inclusive, transparent, ethical government that represents everyone, and my opponent does not represent everyone. I'm pounding the pavement. I've knocked on over 1,300 doors, and I'm hearing the same message over and over. People are concerned that a small group of insiders and developers is changing the character of our city, and I want the community's voice to be heard as we shape the city's future. Year after year, the voters go to the polls in the city of Saratoga Springs with no choice. The only way voters can express a choice is to write in another candidate, which hundreds of residents did for the Commissioner of Finance in 2017. My opponent is not listening.
Yeah, I know you're for controlled growth in Saratoga, too. And I think, I mean, she stated a lot of times that she wants growth all the time. I mean, she said she wanted to keep our city in the country aspect, but do you think that that's gone now with all the growth that's taken place? Or,
well, I don't think it's completely gone. I think we have things that we can do to make sure that we continue to be a city in the country. However, if we don't have a plan and a vision, that will change. I do see a tipping point, for example, with the amount of retail space that's available, and commercial space, I should say. If you go down, the dynamics of things are changing, and there's not as much of a need. And if you develop to a point that you have excess, like I've almost wanted to go around and do my own inventory and see how long properties are vacant. There's the property that is across from the Catholic High School on Broadway that's been vacant for years, beautiful space. The property to the right of the high school is vacant. I mean, there's a property over on the corner of Henry and Spring Street that's been vacant for a long time. Down on Excelsior and East Avenue, there was that new condo commercial space that went up. That was vacant for a very long time. You have to start looking at those things. Now, you know, that's the developers to decide if they want to do that, but I think you need to work together and...
Sure, market the properties to bring new businesses in.
Yeah,
that's good. I also want to know a little bit about your professional experience. I know you have an extensive background in dealing with businesses and budgets. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I'm very proud of my professional accomplishments, and along the way I've made lifelong friends at pretty much every employer that I've worked at, which I'm very proud of. I've worked for some of the top Fortune 500 brands. When I was at Canon back in the late 90s, this was really cool, actually. I was part of a startup group within a very, obviously very established company. and we were competing against another arm of our own business. So I was part of, we were doing two things. We were bringing a product to market with our name on it that we had never done before, laser printers. I've always been on the B2B side of the business for the most part, which is business to business. And we were marketing our name on our own product and also competing with ourselves because HP's laser printer engines are built by Canon. So we OEM them to HP, but at the same time we were building and putting our name on it. So we were a complete startup group. I was one of the original members on the team. So everything was from the ground up. And even though we were part of a large company, we didn't have these huge budgets because we were the unknown. And Japanese culture is very, very, very conservative, very conservative. And I remember the first, one of the first programs that we did, which was like it's a rebate program. They entrusted me with a lot of money to drive the business. And it was very humbling to be given that level of responsibility and then working to set it all up with an outside vendor and managing all that. So being part of a startup group was really cool. And then when I was at Citibank, that was an interesting situation because I was working more like a consultant as a contractor. I was working on a new rewards program with another new team. And again, it was an experience where I was working with like the best of the best they had hired with regards to developing and setting up rewards programs. So we were this tight-knit team. And then I had an opportunity with a bank, and then I was also approached by Panasonic. So I had to make a decision, and I decided at the time to go with Panasonic, and I'm really extremely happy that I did. I was with them for 10 years, and again, some really interesting relationships internally. We had something different than being a startup. We were actually, the team that I was on was, we were doing internal takeovers, if you will. We were separate business units with our separate budgets back to the factory in Japan. And we were all individual companies under one large company. And it was decided that we were going to merge everything into one business-to-business unit.
Mm-hmm.
And the president that I worked for was taking over. So I actually had to go under a non-disclosure internally because I knew things that were going on that the rest of the company and employees didn't know. And also with projects that I was managing. So I was managing some technology projects and messaging projects. The number of projects that I've worked on over the years, I can't even tell you how many products I've launched. And all along the way, everything that I've worked on, I've always put a process in place and documented that. And I remember there was a visit about a year before I left the company. It was a complete surprise visit. I got a text from another director saying that one of the Japanese heads had arrived. Like, we knew when they were coming.
Right.
Like,
he had was some there. Warning.
And they wanted to kind of inventory us, if you will. So I was asked to meet with him and show him a go-to-market plan for a project that we were launching. And I sat down and I walked him through everything, and he was very impressed. I don't think he was expecting it, quite mm-hmm. frankly, that everything was documented, everything was mapped out, everything had a timeline to it, everything had a budget to it, everything had assigned staff to it. So it was, I always like to be prepared because you never know. So you always should be prepared, even if someone hasn't asked you for documentation. You always need to have it. Another interesting project I had, we had relationships with Intel and Microsoft, and I managed the marketing development funds for that. And Intel in particular would, they didn't have a process requiring us to get pre-approval before they would authorize dollars. And I felt uncomfortable with that. So I created my own process on top of their process. And it really worked out in the end for us because we had been given, told that we were going to be getting, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we were relying on that for some initiatives that we were working on in the market. And we needed that money. And even though I work for large companies, I've always been very lean with the budget and very, I mean, I was kind of known as being frugal, in a sense. And you need to be, because when you're working in a sales organization, there's they can throttle back if you're not hitting your number and your budget is altered. And, and so you have to be prepared for that. But with this particular instance with Intel, we as a company had dipped with the amount of work that we were doing. So our representative was a Japanese representative. So there was a language barrier, a time zone barrier, and we had been denied the dollars after we went through their approval process, or when you submit for payment, they denied us. And luckily, because I had put together a pre-approval process, even outside of their scope of requirements, I was able to turn around and get that money. It was a bit of a negotiation because we were working with a language barrier in Japan and late night calls, but it worked out in the end. So I always look ahead, and I keep, you know, making sure that I have things in place if something were to not go well.
Sure.
So I, you know, and right now with the company that I'm with, we're looking at methods to measure our new product that we bring to market. You know, we look at net new revenue in EBITDA, and just so folks know what EBITDA is, it's earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. And we look at lifetime value with the customers. We support our core objectives. So I'm involved in some really cool projects that bring product to market, and it requires budgeting. You know, my largest budget when I was at Panasonic was a $24 million budget. And along the way, I had, you know, various projects with multi-million dollar initiatives behind it. Something else I will say, when I was at Panasonic, that I did that I thought was a bit of a game changer. The company, that the Japanese culture, they would bring product to market, they would launch it, however the product wouldn't be available sometimes. I mean, it would go on for months. I mean, we had one product that we launched it, but it wasn't available to be purchased for a whole year. So that really just that breaks your supply chain in the US. It was very hard with our relationships with our resellers. We got dinged a lot on that. So I put together a process for our go-to-market strategy that we would bring product to market within a 30-day window. So if the product was going to be bumped out, then we would hold on the launch. And that really changed our ratings with our supply chain and with the resellers that we sold our product. And if you can give strong, solid reasons for doing something, the Japanese executive management will align with you, but you have to be very solid and show the payoff to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how many return on investment analysis I've had to do. But so that's a little bit about my background. Any questions on that?
Well, if anybody has a question, you can call 580-5783. What I take out of that is, I mean, you know, you've dealt with some big businesses, but I think really the strength of what you did with dealing with some large budgets,
yep.
I mean, we're talking, you know, in that $11 million budget, we're talking about, you know, $25, $30 million budgets, and the dealings that you have to do, as you said, dealing with a foreign business or bosses,
yeah.
You have to be prepared and have to have that knowledge of what to do if something happens to go in a direction that is going to satisfy them. Mm-hmm. And it seems that you have that. And with your background, do you think that working for the city as a finance commissioner, you'd be able to bring that knowledge to the council table,
yeah,
or to your department to make decisions that will affect other departments in a meaningful time period?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I think is my real core strength is bringing people around the table and having conversations. The projects that I was able to manage, I was well respected because I could bring people around the table, and I valued everybody at the table, their opinions, what their ideas. No idea was a bad idea, and I was I'm always concise in my meetings with, you know, a clear agenda, but I'm not so rigid that I'm not open to ideas. Like, that is to me the richness. I don't come to the table with the ideas. A lot of times it's the folks that come around the table, and people want to be part of that. People are eager to have a voice in. And not only do I want to bring the staff into the conversation, I want to bring the community into the conversation.
So that would be a strength that you would have, let's say, at a council meeting, if a constituent gets up after you've given your agenda, and wait, and see, you have to wait to the following week with this form of government, but and had a disagreement with you, and ask you a question and gave their opinion on that, you wouldn't be rigid to say no. I mean, my way.
No, I mean, not at all. In fact, you have to, listening is the key, mm-hmm. really. Listening is the key. And I'm never going to say I have all the answers. I need to listen and understand and hear other sides of the, you know, it's kind of like if we were sitting here and there was a bottle of Pepsi between us, and you're seeing the bottle on one side and I'm seeing the bottle on the other side, and there's a label that goes around that bottle, we're both seeing the same thing, but we're seeing something different, right? We're seeing the same bottle,
mm-hmm.
but you're seeing the label and it reads Pepsi on your side, I'm seeing the label and I'm reading the ingredients on the other side.
Okay.
So we can see the same thing, but we can see it differently, and we need to understand the differences and align them. And that's how I was able to bring projects forward, you know, keep projects moving. When we did that internal merger at Panasonic, I was very respectful of the team members that were coming in, and they were basically having to hand over projects to me. And one was a technology project for a portal platform. And the gentleman that was doing this, I mean, he put a lot of work into this. And I, I sat down with him and I made him part of the project. I didn't take the project. And I gave him, you know, the ability to continue to have a voice into where we were going. And that was, that created a great relationship between he and I, because then over the course of time, he ended up handing me over another project and we worked together on that, and it went very smoothly because of the respect that we had for each other.
Now, in being a politician and unfortunately you have to be a politician when you're elected to a job like Commissioner of Finance or any city or county or state office, there's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be the greatest budget person, but you're never ready to step in a job on day one and know everything of how that department runs. Mm-hmm. And that's for every department in the city or wherever, county. And you'll be able to bring what you've learned into that office, correct, and help you with that learning curve to understand how the finance commissioner mm-hmm. works and the different things. I mean, I don't care what job it is. There is a learning curve.
Of course, yep.
And you're prepared for handling that, and you feel comfortable in going in.
Gosh,
and,
yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm super excited. I've actually, I've already sat down with the budget, and mm-hmm. I looked through the budget line by line.
Eek.
I have to go back and I have to look out to see if I can get supporting documentation. I haven't read through the report in all full detail, I will say that. But I am curious to know why one of the line items with our current city attorney is looks like getting a $15,000 pay increase. I was just a little surprised by that.
Yeah.
I'd like to better understand why that is.
Yeah, because he just got doubled his salary a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So
last year.
Yeah, so yeah. $15,000 on top of that seems like a hefty raise for 1 year.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, is we hire a lot of outside attorneys to handle some projects,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And so... You know, that's a good thing to look at.
Yeah, I would like to look at where we can find some efficiencies.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
And I think that there are some things that a different person, like you said, looking at that Pepsi bottle.
Did you like that analogy?
I loved it. I mean, that's a great one because, you know, it makes, I don't know, I think it makes you think about the truth. I mean, you look at it and you see the label, and I look at it and I'm seeing how many calories it has and the ingredients, mm-hmm. but yet it's together.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that analogy.
You can use it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. But yeah, and you know, I'm glad that you're already looking for ways to save money, mm-hmm. because I think it takes a new set of eyes every once in a while for a commissioner mm-hmm. to see things.
You know, the other thing I will tell you too that I failed to mention about myself, because I am not afraid to ask the tough questions, and I'm not afraid to ask questions. For example, when I went through school board training, I was asking a lot of questions. Now, a lot of people in that room sat there and they weren't asking questions. During the break, a couple of the women came up to me and thanked me for asking all my questions. And I was known at Panasonic. Someone said to me once, "Patty, you ask what everybody else is thinking and they just don't have the blank to say it."
Yeah.
Call it one of my talents, but I'm gonna ask the questions, and it's all for the better. It's all for the better.
Oh, most definitely, especially in this position, because you're gonna be asking four other department heads why they need why they need this, or
right, but not just, you know, that you work together, though. You
most definitely you work together, but I mean, you want to know the details too, mm-hmm. to make a good budget
and help them understand, you know, things that maybe they're not looking at, like
sure.
seeing it differently. So yeah, so absolutely
good. Your first council meeting, you're going to bring a Pepsi bottle.
and put
it in front of you.
Yes.
And that's going to tell people, you
Years
know.
Years ago, it would have been a Coke bottle, but
that's right.
It's too syrupy now.
That's right. It's too syrupy.
And I don't drink any of it anymore.
No, I don't either anymore. But what are you going to do? I want to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming debate. You're running, I have to say, you're running a clean campaign. Very hard, even for me, when speaking with you this morning, to say something bad.
Yeah.
But, because you don't want that. You're running a clean campaign.
That's right.
But it seems the other side is trying to egg you on and make it look in the public like you don't care. But you really do.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So, there was talk about the League of Women Voters may do a debate, may not do a debate. For some reason, they waited until after the school board debate. I think it was just 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 3 at this point, to reach out to my opponent and myself about having a debate. And I gave 4 dates. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
4 dates that I was available. And my opponent picked one of those 4 dates. We scheduled a debate at the Unitarian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got an email stating that there was a conflict and the debate was, well, at first it was just a conflict, and so I questioned, is this canceled, or, you know, are we getting over the conflict? And the debate was canceled. And the debate was canceled because although my opponent was available on this date, that this is what we, why we scheduled it, it was then canceled. So it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
That it's canceled. I would certainly like to do a debate with a nonpartisan organization like League of Women Voters. I'm a member. I believe strongly. However, I was also approached by the Independence Party and for a debate. And to be honest with you, I didn't really know that much about the Independence Party, but they selected a date that it was not available. It was a school board night, so I thanked them for their invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I let them know that I wasn't available and that we could maybe do something after the primary. And I then heard, because I don't follow it, that my email that I wrote was posted on a website, and I was avoiding a debate. Now,
mm-hmm.
that's not the case. I am not going to have a debate once I've learned subsequently about the Independence Party and their lack of respect taking my communication and making it public, and then I'm understanding that the chair of the Independence Party has been a longtime political supporter of my opponent. He's had he's given her money.
Mm-hmm.
The Independence Party has endorsed her, and the chair, Eddie Miller, has a job with the city and gets his paycheck from my my opponent. Quite frankly, who in their right mind would debate under those circumstances? And most recently, when they emailed me again, I'm sorry, but you put my email on in the public's eye. I communicated that I would be available after the primary, and now someone notified me there was a half a page ad saying that I've gone missing. I've not gone missing. I made a date with the League of Women Voters for a debate, and my opponent canceled
out. And yes. Where is she? She's gone missing from the debate cycle.
Yes, I don't have words for the level of unprofessionalism that really is very, very unprofessional. You are a chair of a party. And you put a half-page ad in, and you put my email up on a public website?
Right. No, I know.
There's nothing wrong with my email. I mean, I almost wrote it verbatim. I thanked them. I let them know I wasn't available, and then we could do something after the primary.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
But that should be private between you and the chairman. Let me just say a few things. The chairman of the Independence Party, if you want to call it a party, I do have some ideas of what that is. They're also good friends. And so I take no stock in that website that they put it to, because he was going to do that anyway. Also, another piece of information, Eddie Miller's girlfriend is one of your opponent's best friends.
Oh.
But see, a party like an independence party, I think of a political party as...
Well, this is a Democratic primary.
Exactly. It's a Democratic primary.
And
they're only an endorsement group.
And you know, I don't want to be too critical, but no one would do this.
No,
they wouldn't. Would do this.
No, and I don't think they've ever done this before. No. They have never offered.
And it's at the Racino?
Right.
Really?
I know. Well, that's, you know, anyway, a political party puts candidates up to run. I don't think a political party has a debate. Other than maybe the party that...
The Democratic Party certainly didn't...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So a non-political group like the League of Women Voters, who are known for having political debates because they're non-partisan, that's where I would go for my debate. I certainly wouldn't get trapped into an independence party.
You know, I started out earlier, and sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
You were correct. I'm running a clean campaign, and I'm not going to get... You can try to drag me into the mud, but I'm not going with you. And this is a game.
Mm-hmm.
This is a clear game. And to offer for a date and then cancel it, and then say...
Accept the date.
I'm not going to... That I'm not... They have something on the calendar. I've never accepted...
Right, and that website has the letter.
Right.
So they know you didn't accept it, so now they've scheduled a debate. That would be like you scheduling the debate at the Unitarian Church on the night you both agreed to, all right? If she came, fine. If she didn't come...
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's a political game. Yeah. Unfortunately, you won't say it, but I will. Unfortunately, your opponent... place political games, and this is a clear example of it, and I commend you for not stooping to that level.
Yeah.
And I think that goes to show your what you'll bring to the council table. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that in you.
I'm not a career politician. I am stepping forward truly to represent the community and to give the community a voice and to give the city back. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought there because I had to pull.
You're not a political person.
No,
I'm stepping forward.
I want to serve the community. It's the community I live in, and I want it to be served well. And then in my future, I see myself as mentoring. Mm-hmm. I see myself mentoring someone else's campaign. I should give a shout out to my volunteers, and to I'm very touched by some of the students that have stepped forward, and hopefully someday I can be helping them when they step forward
sure.
to run for office, and that's the goal that I have. When I tell people at the door that they haven't had a lot of them know this, but they haven't had a choice in 4 election cycles, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Primaries are a good thing.
Yes, they are.
They hold our elected officials accountable, and I believe in term limits through the election process.
Mm-hmm.
And no one should ever think that they're entitled to a job in this capacity.
Exactly.
We serve the people, and I'm stepping forward because my opponent is not listening to the voice of the people. And I'm not going to the negative space. I'm just not going to do it.
You know, I give you a lot of credit. It's great for you. I honestly think it's a good thing for you to do. But there are so much negative things that you could say that would be the truth. But I commend you for not going there. I certainly, people know how I feel about our current commissioner. I think she's disrespectful to the community, to a lot of the, maybe not the whole community, but to the constituents, especially ones that go to the meetings. You want somebody in there that'll listen to everybody and not have people be afraid to ask a question because they're going to get berated for it. I commend you for that. And maybe that debate will come off with the League of Women Voters because your opponent has to realize that you want a nonpartisan outfit to do the debate. I think that's only fair. Tell me about what you want to accomplish.
Sure. So... am I talking all right in this?
Yes, the buttons are going up, so you're all right.
So my vision is for progressive and responsive city government. And there have been some decisions that are, first of all, not progressive, and they're definitely not responsive. I've said it before, a single-purpose parking garage that will cost taxpayers money when the property could have been generated generating revenue is just not, it's not forward thinking. Currently, that lot where the parking garage will be built has 300 parking spaces. With a new parking garage, we'll have 600. So we're netting 300 parking spaces for millions and millions of dollars, which the city has been having a difficult time getting funding for. One, because we had a lawsuit, then they went and tried to get some state money, couldn't get it. And so there's all these red flags that this is just not a good idea. And it's outdated before you even put the shovel on the ground. I just don't get this one, 30-year contract for fiber optics. First of all, having worked for Fortune 500 companies, we have a very, very strict procurement process. And there was no contract signed without due diligence. We put out an RFP for fiber optics as a city. Apparently, we kept it open for 16 days for submission. We got one submission and closed the RFP and went with that one submission.
Mm-hmm.
I do work on my house. I get more than one estimate.
Right.
That's my personal. Of course, in my business world, I mean, I sat down. I worked on a six-month project where we were going to bring in a new agency of record, and we worked with, and I drawing a blank on a big firm that helped us do that. I mean, it was a very rigid, detailed process. 16 days, you get one bid and you go with it?
For 30 years.
30-year contract? 30 years. I don't see that as smart. You know, the other thing is we're supposed to be a walkable city. Mm-hmm. I was over on the east side on the, Warren, and the street starts with an E, and I can't think of the name of it. A brand new home that's built, and there's no sidewalk in the front. You are coming down the street on a sidewalk, and you get to this house, and there's nothing. So I heard from the neighbor that the house was grandfathered in with no sidewalk because the prior home that sat there that was demolished and then this new home rebuilt didn't have a sidewalk, so they were grandfathered in. Then I heard from another neighbor across the street that actually the new homeowner wanted a sidewalk, but it was so difficult to get a sidewalk put in that they threw their arms up in the air and didn't want to work with the city. Here's my answer to all of that. Either way, it's dumb. The city needs to fix whatever the broken process is that does not get sidewalks put in when a home is built.
Right.
And also, when you go over to neighborhoods like Doughton Avenue, where you see older and new homes mixed in, and you see sidewalk, no sidewalk, sidewalk, no sidewalk, why aren't we working with our developers and holding them, you know, accountable for investment into mm-hmm. the neighborhood?
Exactly.
So that is another example. You know, 70% of the Democratic voters back in 2017 wanted a charter reform. And the form of government we have right now is not allowing people, one, to step forward. And it's time for that to change. The infrastructure, we have to plan for our infrastructure. For years, we've been talking about an EMS station out on the Eastern Plateau. I knocked on someone's door. The gentleman was genuinely angry. When I listened to him, he didn't want to hear. He says, it's not that hard. Just get it done. This has been dragging on for 8 years. You know, I've said it before. I would like to see a referendum to the voters for open green space. I don't know why, after we've run out of money, we haven't put it back to the voters, a referendum for them to vote on, so that we can get dollars in the coffers so that we have that when we want to purchase more green space. That's how we ended up with Pitney Meadow Farms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the end, I think we need to work together, but we need to look at ideas that benefit a majority and not a select few.
Okay, I want to get to two more things, but first I just want to read a little blip here about the fiber optics, which this company was also given the right to use our sewer lines to run their cable, mm-hmm. and they are the only ones that will be able to do that and going forward with Citi. But the agreement with Sci-Fi, and this is the problem when you have one bid, the agreement with Sci-Fi based in Morristown, New Jersey, doesn't come without its concerns, said Michael Santarelli, who is the director of Advanced Communication Law and Policy Institute at New York Law School. His biggest one is that Sci-Fi has yet to complete a citywide project anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As part of his ongoing research, Santorelli said, who follows broadband projects throughout the nation, he identified a dozen cities that SciFi tried to work with over the last 6 years, and to his knowledge, there hasn't been a successful result of SciFi's effort on the scale of Saratoga. To me, that says a lot about only taking one bid and going there. Let's take this call. Morning, caller.
Hi, it's Jack, Uncle Jack.
Hey, how you doing?
I'll hold on while you finish your program, okay?
Okay. I'll tell you what. Let me give you a call back, okay?
Fine.
Okay. I'll give you a call back. Do you have a question for the guest? If not,
I'll
352-251. I got it. No, I got the number. I've got the number. All right. Bye-bye. Listens to the show in Florida. You know, I've been hearing a lot of good things from people that I know and people that I work with. What do you hear at the door as you're going around the city?
Oh, you know, first of all, I'm getting a great response. People are so happy to have a choice. And what I hear, their concerns align with kind of what I just mapped out as you know, some of the reasons why I'm running. They match up, and they can see my passion, and I'm getting a very, very good response. I'm actually getting to doors now where people say, "Oh, I know who you are."
Yeah.
And it's
that's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's
and they're listening to your message.
Yeah, yeah. So and I'm the response is very, very positive. I feel very, very good about this.
Well, as I told you before the show, I'm hearing a lot of positive results with people that I work with and you know, friends of mine and people mm-hmm. that I know, and they just love what you stand for, and I think it's good for a change mm-hmm. every
oh,
8 years.
Yes. You know, I mean, you look at the military, their leadership. They don't keep the same person in the same role for year after year after year. They rotate you around. You know, back when I was in seventh grade, this really stuck with me. My English teacher, Mr. Working, said, "Patty, you're going to be an attorney." And I never had the desire to do so. And if I was, I would be working for an organization like the ACLU. Because I am always one to step forward to help someone. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I'm not afraid to work with someone who needs help. And
go up against large outfits.
Yeah, I mean, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Is that mm-hmm, how,
yeah, and nice. I'm drawing a blank, but I've done it multiple times. As an example, I had someone who did not work directly for me at Panasonic. She was a union employee. She actually worked for my boss and had a bad review. It was a bad situation, and I stepped forward and I told my boss, you know, basically she dropped the ball. It wasn't the employee. We didn't give the employee the proper amount of work, the guidance, and I ended up taking the employee under my tutelage and turned things around. However, I wasn't afraid to speak up and let, you know,
mm-hmm.
someone know that we hadn't followed the good business sense for this employee.
Right.
So I'm not afraid to
step up.
That's right.
And that's good. Let me tell you, before we go, I want you to tell me about how voters can reach you.
Yep. So voters can reach me on my website, PattyMorrisonForFinance.com. On my Facebook, Patty Morrison for Finance, and also I will be having something Tuesday at Mamma Mia's from 5:30 to 7:30 if you'd want to stop in and meet me personally, and hopefully I'll have a chance to get around to and see as many people as I can, so do come out and join me, and if you'd like to walk with me, you can go to my website, email me, and we'll get you in touch with our volunteer coordinator who's been wonderful getting all those 1,300 doors. I've had someone with me the entire time.
That's good.
It's been amazing and a really good group of people. And I can't thank the grassroots volunteers enough because it really does take a community to run for office.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I just want to say before we go that I feel very comfortable with you being elected our finance commissioner. You certainly have the tools to do it. And as I said before, not everyone can step into that job and know it from day one. There is a learning curve. So no one should in office should be comfortable and say, well, I know the job inside and out. When you got elected and went into that position, you had to have a learning curve too. Mm-hmm. The key is to have the tools behind you, and you certainly have that. Patty, I want to thank you very much, and good luck on June 25th. And
polls open at noon.
At noon.
Noon to 9.
And also, if you want to see Patty, get to meet her June the 11th, which is a Tuesday coming up at Mama Mia's, 5:30 to 7:30, did
yes.
you say? 5:30 to 7:30, you know, go on over and ask her questions. Put her on the spot. She'll answer you truthfully and get her ideas on what she wants to do. So, Patty, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And guests, thank you. We'll be back here next Saturday. And you have a great week. Get out this weekend. It's supposed to be nice. And maybe Patty can go hiking this afternoon.
No, I'm going to the store. But don't forget to call Jack back.
That's right. No, I can't forget that. All right, everybody, you have a great weekend.
Rick Thompson right there for you. Rick, nice job this morning. Talk Along Saratoga and WSPN Radio. Yes, sir. Christy, Mary, and Yash with you this Saturday morning. Good morning, Jen Dobre. Hello. We're creeping up on 70 degrees already. Holy moly, we'll take it.